The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
Welcome back to Hour 2, sonsoflibertyradio.com. If you'd like to be my friend, Bradley Dean, double E. If you'd like to be my friend on Twitter, Bradley Dean 1 on my Twitter account. And or friends, go to Sons of Liberty Radio on Facebook. We're uploading some stuff right now. Dick, what'd you load?
Pictures from the state fair. They're in process of going uploads. You know, it takes a couple seconds to do it.
Okay.
But good pictures showing, again, we are doing radio instead of just talking about
okay.
radio.
Okay, let's hit this really quick. You brought up the state fair.
Yeah.
CBS went after the ministry last week. By the way, did you know that, Jake, we have our own website on Huffington Post?
No, I didn't.
I think it's mine, but I think you're included now.
Excellent.
You are
getting out there. It's about sticking time. Gee whiz.
But, Jake, is it true?
I'm not sure. What is it? What is it?
I'm still trying to find one of these communist outlets in the first place that have told the truth. But what happened, friends, last week, Channel 4, WCCO, they've come after me before for my prayer. And it's interesting that they took the time to point out our ministry. The one booth in the Minnesota State Fair, there's 1.7 to 1.8 million people that will visit the State Fair. And they decided to zero in on our booth because of the protest that nobody could find.
It definitely wasn't there that day.
Okay.
I asked that woman, she said, you know, people have been protesting. I said, well, you're standing out in front of the booth. This was on the phone. You're out in front of the booth. What do you see? I mean, they got anti-gay shirts on. They got, like, knives.
Yeah, go get them.
And sticks where they're prodding gay people. Is that going on? Listen, sir. It's not my my job is only to call and ask you questions, because if you don't answer questions, then I have to report that you didn't ask, then that you didn't say any questions.
Is that how she said it?
I was doing my best. Kate Raddatz, I think, was her name.
Questions. You know what I wanted to do after she wrote this? I wanted her to get on the radio with us.
Oh, that would have been perfect.
No, it would have been. But you know as well as I do, she wouldn't have, because she didn't know that we had firepower.
Sir, I can't do that, sir.
So let's go to the state fair. Falcon Heights, Minnesota, WCCO, the group You Can Run But You Cannot Hide. That's where we have done high school assemblies across the country, friends. Outreach and the such. Ministry in the streets, so on and so forth. It says the group has gained attention at the Minnesota State Fair over accusations that it's a hate group.
Accusations.
Hate group. Okay. A lot of people have a definition of what anti-gay means, but I don't think our group is anti-gay, said Jake McMillan, a spokesperson for the group. Now, let's just dissect that really quick.
Uh-huh.
If a house is on fire and there's people inside the fire that are dying, the man that breaks in to the house that's on fire to get the people out of the fire, he's good, called a what?
Good guy, a hero.
He would be a fireman, right?
Oh,
he
sure.
wants to
yeah,
save their right. life from the destruction
yep.
of that fire.
That's right.
Okay. So they're calling us a hate group because we're breaking into the world of those whose houses are burning down and they don't yet know it. Knowing the love of Christ that constraineth us, we what?
That's what they did to our Christ.
Knowing the terror of the Lord, we yep. persuade men. He goes, but I don't think our group's, Jake McMillan, that would be the other guy, a spokesman for the group said that I don't think our group is anti-gay. It's not anti-gay. We love enough to fight for the gays. Okay? The group's booth has been protested by some fairgoers. Still trying to find them, guys.
And
friends.
Where were they?
That's right. After they found it, it listed as an anti-gay group on the Southern Poverty Law Center's website.
Ooh.
Isn't the Southern Poverty Law Center, aren't they responsible for actually defending the KKK?
I think Morris D is the guy who founded it.
That's right. That's right. And then once they found out it wasn't profitable anymore, they started to go out there and trying to find the socialists, the communists, that were actually trying to push the new thing, the new idea, the new ideology, right? The group's leader, Bradley Dean, was denounced last year by legislative leaders for making anti-gay comments in an opening prayer at the Capitol.
I love that one. That is my favorite one.
I will give... I got to be careful with this, but I will give a prize to anybody that in any sense of the word, during my three-minute prayer, I said, I even leaned into the thought of saying anything about the homosexuals.
There was
any sort of implication,
not even a
hint
of anti-gay.
A hint of ants. It had nothing to do with it. I was magnifying the price of our freedoms. Okay? But they didn't bother asking questions. Anybody who was involved in a homosexual lifestyle, sex outside of marriage, the type of lifestyle, we discourage that because we see that as very damaging to people, McMillan said.
That wasn't all I said. Because
you're going to have to fill in the blank because that's all she said you said.
Well, I would just like to make the statement. Now, some people would like to get off scot-free and say, that's all I said, you know.
They do it all the time.
But that isn't all I said because I want to be faithful to Christ. Listen, if bad things happen to you because of sin, so what? The point is that Christ died for that sin. I want to magnify my Savior to say, I am against sin. Not just because of the consequences of it, but because of what it did to my Savior on the cross.
Prevention is better than cure.
Yeah, and ultimately, I'm standing on my Savior's words, not on the fact that it's good or bad or unethical or unhealthy, because I don't want to get into that. The Word of God says it's wrong. That's why I believe it is wrong.
It says it's an abomination in that particular situation.
Yep.
I go on. State Fair General Manager Jerry Hammer says, even if you don't agree with the message the group is promoting, it's a matter of free speech.
Go ahead. I've had people come up to me and say, well, one good thing out of that report, I sure do love the State Fair a lot more. That guy was awesome.
Jerry Hammer?
Yeah.
We have between 1.7 and 1.8 million people at the fair this year. I guarantee you every one of them will find something somewhere they disagree with, he said. Hammer says any political group can have a booth if they submit a registration and pay the fees. The only time a group isn't allowed to have one is if it threatens public safety. It comes down to how the information is presented, Hammer said. The group hands out pamphlets at the booth at the state fair. Their mission is to redirect the morals of young people through education and Christian values. Ding, 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 ding. So who was being protested? The Christians were.
Yep.
And it's the Christians' job.
Who was being targeted for violence?
That's exactly right. If you don't like it, don't go to the booth, Hammer said. From an administrative position, we treat them all the same. You Can Run, But You Cannot Hide has a booth at the state fair for 8 years. Dean, the group's leader, was unavailable for comment. We do thank you for the $75,000 ad.
That's very nice of you.
Because it would have cost at least that. Yeah.
Let's just hope your ratings aren't like MSNBC's right now.
They've lost over 50% of their viewership.
That's not good.
Well, it's because
poor Rachel Maddow's having a real hard time over there, too.
Yeah. That was another thing that we were attacked for because I said shim about Rachel Maddow. Wait a second. She's not claiming to be a she. She's claiming to be a boy. So I got in between it, and I said, well, what, she, him, Jim? I didn't say it. That's what she's doing.
Well, you did say it, but you were making a statement about that.
I guess, I'm sorry, that's what I'm trying to say.
He said he didn't say it when he said it.
It's like looking at a shirt that's a certain color, and then I say that's the color of the shirt. I'm not saying it. She's saying it. She's making the declaration is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so here we are anyways, friends. This week I got an email from a guy that just listened to the radio. Matter of fact, if you'd like to call in and be a part of the show, I'm going to go off on the end times real quick here. 1-877-807-9977, and I'll read that text to you in just a couple minutes as well. But let's get on over to the end timers, folks. You want to be encouraged? You know this doctrine? Well, I'm about ready to undo it. 1-877-807-9977. Be right back.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of Liberty. And with a tax-deductible gift of $50 or more, we'll send you a special Sons of Liberty message on DVD. Call 1-866-233-0747. 1-866-233-0747. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Hey, just got my MyWar DVD and comic book, and wow. The first disc is as powerful as every live show I listen to. Bradley speaks truth straight to your core that motivates your soul to want to take back this nation. There is so much untruth out there that has been engineered onto our nation, and Bradley uncovers the lies and makes it easy to understand.
Become a son or daughter of Liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com. sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
All righty, friends. Talking about the end timers. Folks, after you go out and check out some of these end timers, because they seem to be a popular thing today, with whom I don't know, I know that among them are the hopeless. And Arturius is the one that said, King Arthur, his uncle, he said, the is no worst state to be in. In a state of hopelessness, and when you're at the end of hope. And
There was no worse death than the
end of
death,
hope.
End of hope.
Yep. And that's exactly right. I mean, if you really think about it. And so what's interesting about this is these people, these end timers, they magnify hopelessness rather than the holiness and their duty before God. They don't take on their obligation before a just and a holy God. And I've never understood it a day in my life. Let me say it this way. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. There is no fruit. And the only thing that I've heard these before. I've been to these meetings before, and I've been to a couple of them, not on purpose. But the only thing that you're looking for after you listen to the speaker is what store do I need to go to get some rope? Because there's no sense. May as well just take myself out. Of course, I'm being facetious, but really, people are inundated with fear that paralyzes them. And friends, let me tell you on an encouraging word, never take counsel from your fears. Never take counsel from your fears. But that's what they promote is fear. And it's a diabolical fear. And they don't need a diabolical fear. They need to understand the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom, and it's a filial fear. I remember one time I was at a particular church, and it was my best friend. He was a singer of my band, Junkyard Prophet. And I looked over at him, and they were talking about the end times, and they were just saying, this is what's going to happen, and this bad thing's going to happen, and this catastrophe is going to happen, and there's no sense, there's no sense, there's no sense. And as a baby Christian, I just thought, I don't want to sit here and listen to this garbage. I want hope. And your hope is found in Christ, not in circumstance.
Yeah.
And I looked over at him, and I said to him, I said, now, you've been in the church your whole life. He was a PK kid, a pastor's kid. And he said, yeah. And I said, have you been hearing this your whole life? And he looked at me and he said, yeah, with a smile on his face. I mean, it really gets to the point of being so ridiculous, friends. It's just almost like, what are you people feeding on? And what they do is they look for something to complain about so they can magnify their false doctrine. These are the people that are crying about every little thing that goes wrong, and instead of correcting the wrong, they looked to another Jesus who will come and rapture them out of where they are. Folks, they want to be raptured from responsibility. Oh, and by the way, the word rapture appears nowhere in the Bible. I know what they're alluding to, of course. These people in their unregenerate state even look for excuses as to why they should write a book every year about why Jesus is coming back in that particular year. It's getting worse. No sense. Jesus is coming back today. I mean, you've seen this dude just a couple years ago.
It's billboards.
Yeah, he put up in a certain day in May, it's going to be the end of the world. He made millions and millions and millions of dollars off the stupidity of those that didn't know the word of God. Just like the American people being led away to their own demise through stupid politicians because they don't know their Constitution. Folks, these people, again, in their unregenerate state, even look for excuses as to why they should write a book about why Jesus is coming back in that particular year. These people offer hopelessness and nothing else. Instead of them taking responsibility again and keeping the commandments of God, which is the love of God, they throw off God's commands as legalistic instead of showing their love to the one that died for them. Are veterans legalistic? Or do they love freedom? Was Jesus legalistic? No. He loved his Father.
He's a little bound up in love is the problem.
Just a little bit.
Too much love.
Folks, these are those who the Lord warns about in Psalm 78. Listen carefully. This will set you free in righteousness. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. We don't see that anymore. That the generation to come might know them. Ask the average Christian in America to name three of the Ten Commandments. They have no idea. Yet Scripture clearly tells us, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar and the truth is in him.
Ooh.
That the generation to come might know them, even the children of which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. That they might set their hope, ready for this, in who? In God. Not in circumstance. We walk by faith, not by sight. And not to forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, it says in Psalm 78. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation. Rebellious towards who? God. A generation that set not their hope aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Friends, they had it in their power to win the day, but they turned back in the day of battle. And you still have the power to do the right thing. You still have the freedom to do the right thing, friends. But the end timers don't magnify that. Folks, these people, back to Psalm 78, kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his what? His law. Don't tell me that's Old Testament. Yes, it's Old Testament, but it still is for today. The Holy Ghost wrote his laws upon our hearts and our minds. Jesus was a preacher of circumcision. He was one that preached the law. He did not abrogate it. He explained it. And you don't explain that which is abrogated.
I'd like to make a statement to that.
Please.
Because we talk about this in the Constitution class. It's very easy to understand law. And, you know, I'm looking up the definition of legalistic here on the...
It's got to be a modern version because it's not in Webster's 1828.
There's more legality. There's different terms for it. But basically, the strict, literal adherence to the law or to a particular code as of religion or morality. Now, understanding... You know, never mind. Forget about that. I shouldn't even have brought the definition because it'll make this too complicated. If you go back to law and you understand what is the purpose of law, what's the purpose of governments to secure the rights of the people? There is a God, number one. This is the American view. Our rights come from him. The purpose of government is to protect and secure those rights. So now we say, I love the law and I love government. Why? Because it protects me. Now, when you get into Christianity, for some reason, people think that the law is against you.
That's what the burnt hippies preached when they came up with something called free love. They take a cross, turn it upside down, and break it down, and then they have
a peace sign.
Yes.
Hippie peace, hippie free love. But if you can understand law from
they're
the context...
They're free from showers, too, if you haven't smelled.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Now, what Christ came to say, I fulfilled the law. He did what the
Romans 3.
And this is what Paul was saying, what the law could not do. Because of the flesh. Christ did. So what was it that the law was trying to do? Why did God give the law? To protect.
That's right.
Anytime you have a right, there is a law to protect that right.
Here, do good cops hate our country and our government? Absolutely not. It's a great example of their love for government and a love for people.
That's why it's so good to talk about municipal law, because then people can finally understand the right context of law. Most people see, again, they see the law in society as, well, that's good. We like the law. They get into a Christian church and say, bad law, bad law. No, law has always been formed what to protect. Why did God give the Israelites the law? Why did he give them the Ten Commandments? To protect their society. And when they did obey the law, there was a free flow. Terror was in the wicked doers, not the good doers. Now, Christ comes in and says, I came to fulfill the law. How did he do that? He did what the law couldn't do. The law could not, it could tell you what was right and wrong, but it could not make you do what is right and wrong.
Romans 8.
You were powerless to do what is right and wrong morally. So then do we hate the law? No. We just say the law was not adequate do that.
Wait a second.
Christ did that.
No, you're exactly right. And that is being found in his righteousness, but we still have, there's a lot of moral people, Jake, that are going to hell.
So because the law is imperfect, it can't save you.
I understand that, but I'm simply saying that we still have the dispensation that God gave unto us, even people that are going to hell, to make the right choice and the wrong choice. We still have that power to do that. You said that we don't have the power to do that. Yes, we do have the power to do that.
Well, we don't have the power to do what the law demands.
You're exactly here.
Which
here
is perfect righteousness.
And that's what Christ came to fulfill. Right. That's right. We don't have, say what you just said again.
We don't have the power to fulfill what the law demands.
The righteousness of the law in which it demands. I can't bring about a righteousness of my own and bring it to God and say, hey, look at this. No, because he said your righteousness is but filthy rags. It goes back to the conversation that we had earlier that, listen, I may be right and I still may be going to hell. But I don't want to stand in my right. I want to stand in his right. I want to stand in his power, not in my power.
But this goes,
it's a work of the Holy Ghost. And Nicodemus, this is what Nicodemus was going back and forth on. And Nicodemus was a teacher of those that were in Israel, and he said, what, must we go back into our mother's womb? Jesus looks at him and says, you're a teacher and you don't know these things? And then he begins to tell him, if I tell you earthly things and you don't believe them, how are you going to understand heavenly things? He's trying to teach his carnal mind, which is that enmity with God, spiritual things. And he can't do that. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. That's why we need to be born again of the Spirit, Romans 3. I'm sorry, John 3. And I hope people don't get weird on that. Let's stay on this vein. This is great discourse. You got Bradley and Jake, Sons of Liberty, Radio.com. Romans 3:31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. No way. We establish the law in Jesus' name. Be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals in a nutrient-dense diet? Before market, they cut off their minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains to fatten them up. So if weight control is this easy, why does the medical system prescribe invasive surgical gastric bypass for humans? The truth be told, according to research, you can avoid over 900 different diseases just by getting 90 essential nutrients daily. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com and order your healthy start pack and get your 90 for life. Or dial 855-301-TEAM. I said essential, not optional, and every day. Easy. 90 for life on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com or call 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM. At sonsoflibertyteam.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
More important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay, and after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Before another autumn arrives, celebrate the closing days of summer with the first annual Blue Green Organic Summer Fest. Friday, September 20th through Sunday the 22nd on beautiful Madeline Island, Wisconsin. It's 3 days of family-friendly fun and admission is totally free. There's arts and crafts vendors, a farmer's market, and activities for the kids. Plus, great live music with 9 bands, both regional and local, including headliners The Suburbs and Allison Scott. It's hosted by Blue Green, serving great organic food on Bell Street on the restaurant and event center grounds. Sponsorship and vendor booths are still available. Call 952-556-8707. The Blue Green Organic Summer Fest, September 20th through 22nd. Madeline Island's never seen anything like it, and it's free. Like us on Facebook and visit BlueGreenOrganicSummerFest.com. Sponsored by South Shore Brewery, Fresh Key, Fry Wines, Friesel, Legendary Water, The Storm 99.7, and 90 for Life Longevity.
Summertime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin B, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for summer at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
You remember when the lawyers and the Pharisees were hanging around Jesus? Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty.com. You remember when those guys were kind of hanging out and doing their thing? And it's interesting that Jesus looked at those that were... He's got a way of just bringing it to no gainsay. And there was one lawyer that actually discreetly answered him. And he asked the lawyer, "What does the law say to you?" And then what was going back and forth, there was some dialogue going back and forth between Jesus. And, of course, they're always trying to catch him in his words. But this lawyer was sincere about what he was saying.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, "Well, we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength." And he said, "That's the first commandment. And the second is namely like unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So I can't love my neighbor if I don't first love God with my whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. As a matter of fact, you're not going to find him, Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, if you don't seek him with your whole heart. Matthew 6, 33, 6, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you." So when we're talking about what the fulfilling of the law is, the fulfilling of the law is to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And it's really not hard to figure out. Is it love for the American people to sit back and watch babies be murdered in the womb?
No.
No. It's folks, it is an extreme measure of that's hate.
Mm-hmm.
That's hate.
Yep.
Look at the stuff that's being thrown down on the students across this country today. Friends, that is hate. Don't sit there and tell your kid that you love him while you're bringing him to a public cesspool of indoctrination, illegal indoctrination, might I add. And here you have the professed church, and you have the a lot of people in this country telling their kids how much they love them. Well, they're drowning while they're trying to survive a system that they know that they're being lied to.
Yep.
A cesspool. I mean, they're thrown into a pool filled with sharks. And they're looking up and they're saying, "Mom, Dad, Pastor, I thought you said you loved me. This is crazy." So to fulfill the law is to deal with the corruption and get your kids out of there and show them how much you do love them and homeschool them.
Amen.
Just speaking.
Amen.
Hey, just saying.
Just saying.
So again, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yeah, we established the law, Romans 3:31.
I was going back to the statement that Martin Luther made to his class, is that people said, well, I'm free to do whatever I want to do. And he said, yes, so I can do whatever I want and still go to heaven. Martin Luther said, yes. And everybody started chuckling, like, this is sweet, man.
Yep. Isn't that crazy?
And then he said, but what do you want to do? So you may be saved. You can do whatever you want when you are saved, because you're going to be doing the right thing if you're saved. If you're not, then you got to look forward to fear.
Yeah. And a man of God, because he understands what you just got done saying, and when he's born of the Spirit, he's got a white robe on. Mm-hmm. He doesn't go jumping around in the puddles, does he?
That's right.
He stays away from them. He avoids those puddles. Yeah. Why? Because he doesn't want the garments of salvation that Jesus Christ put upon him, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, because he knows that God said, be holy as I am holy, which is a work of the Holy Ghost, but we obey that form of doctrine that has been given unto us. And you obey what you love.
Yeah.
And it's a single eye, friends,
that's
not
right.
A double eye.
You sure do. Yeah. I was just thinking, and this is, I'm not saying this is the best of analogies, but I know in my own personal life, when I was a kid, I used to love going to fast food. I just loved it because I barely ever got to do it. And again, this is just an analogy, and it has to deal with my body. Now, I don't like going to fast food. I despise going to fast food now for the most part. Why is that? Because of the way it makes me feel. Now, as a Christian, I'm going to despise sin. Why?
Yeah.
Because it's not, I'm a new man now. I'm not that old guy anymore. I repel it. It is not enjoyable to me to run into sin. To my flesh? Yes. To the spirit man in me? No. And you can only have that if you're born again. The problem with, like, as an example, Martin Luther's struggle, and I'm not claiming to know everything about Martin Luther, but what he talked about is he hated the law because he thought it was unfair that a poor guy like him was trying so hard, but yet God was still going to throw him into hell. And his father or whatever,
oh,
Mr.
Schmelz. His priestly father, yeah.
Yeah, he comes up to him and says, you need to focus on God's goodness. But if I focus on God's goodness, then I'll get away from the law. And I need to cling to the law because I do all these bad things. Don't focus on God's goodness. The law can be fulfilled in you.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, when you say that to a lascivious man,
yep,
he will take that just like the pigs will take the pearls and trample over them.
Yep.
But when you say it to, using the context of clean animals, you say that to a cat. Cats don't like to get dirty, right?
Yeah.
They always stay clean. Pigs don't. So it depends who you're saying that to.
They like to wash themselves in the wall of the mire.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You can clean up a pig. You can make him squeaky clean, looking
good. You can
put
perfume on him.
Yep. But guess what's going to happen? That's a good point. Guess what's going to happen the minute you allow him to do what he wants? He's going to run directly to the mud.
Yep.
But now a cat who has a different nature,
he's going to go to the bathroom all over himself.
For sure.
It is true.
So you've got to change that pig's nature. Well, you can't. You have to change that pig entirely into a cat who naturally likes to stay. That's a Spurgeon analogy that he used, and I thought it was great.
Yeah.
It's not like you can clean this up, because the law can stay as a constraint to you your whole life, and it will in civic society, and that's why I love that analogy of the law. It will.
The law to Christ, Christ to the law, said Wesley. Mm-hmm. The law to Christ, Christ to the law.
Yep.
There's a balance there. My favorite books in the whole Bible are Deuteronomy and the book of John, and I love 1 John. And I'm not ostracizing any other book in the Bible. I love all of them, but those are the ones that are really the apple of my eye. Mm-hmm. I love them scriptures. If I'm right, Martin Luther's the guy that tore the world apart, said his priestly father. And what was it that tore the world apart? The truth. And it's interesting, when you said that, the first thing I thought about is, remember that priestly guy looked at him and said, Martin, you're tearing the world apart?
Yeah.
And he looked at him and he grabbed his arm and he said, did you really think that there wouldn't be a cost?
Yeah.
That's a wow. And he had the world. There still is adamantly set against Martin Luther today. But if it wasn't for that man, we wouldn't be singing Mighty Fortress is Our God. We wouldn't have the religious freedom that we have today.
Yeah.
So anyways, you are talking about the new man. And the Bible says that for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. He said right after that, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence and covetousness and idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Okay? And then he said, put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we're to put on the new man, and we're to put off the old man. So it's an act of our will, and we always have the power to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyways, I just wanted to make that clear. And we were talking about...
This is kind of simplifies the relationship. You're talking about the law to Christ, Christ to the law, and the Old Testament, the New Testament. This can be... Now, faith is not a practical thing, and you cannot apprehend it from reason. Christ gives that. But if you think about this, God gave the law. Why? Because he loved. He gave it to protect. Okay, it's like the law of gravity. A man may say, and this is the problem, a man may say, well, I don't like the law of gravity. I don't need to listen to the law of gravity jump out of an airplane.
That's right.
He can't change the law of gravity.
That's right.
Christ did not change the law at all.
Yep.
It stayed the same. But what Christ did is, here is the parachute. And so we have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ so we can walk still the same law, still we're the same fallen creature. Mm-hmm. It's the same world. So the only thing that changed, the paradigm that changed, was that Christ sent salvation to all men through his son Jesus Christ, merely fulfilling the law. They're not antithetical towards one another. Christ is not to be looked at as, well, we've got to be careful because you could get to lasciviousness if you have Christ. No, you can't, actually, because it's Christ.
Yeah.
You can't get to either side. It's just a practical fulfilling of it. It didn't do away with the law. It didn't change the law. You put on Christ, and now you have salvation in terms
of trusting in his ability rather than your own ability.
And you're a new creature because of him. I mean, I think about when I first cried out to God when I was 17. I couldn't even have cried out to God on my own. I didn't even know to do that. I understood from the sense of don't jump out of the airplane without a parachute or you're going to hit the ground. So I would, dance around in the airplane, do everything but what I knew would hurt me. You get what I'm saying? Because that's what the nature will do. It'll press its boundaries, and some people will jump out without Christ. So at that particular time when Christ revealed unto me his son, now all of a sudden I am so grateful to him. Out of love I am compelled, and I serve him. And I want others to do the same because I know no matter how hard they try... No matter how hard they try to fulfill different things, without Christ, they're just as lost.
Let me ask you a question to that. Because you're talking about Martin Luther, the great reformer. Okay, so when we take that, and we can even talk about Charles Spurgeon, where he said, avoid a sugar gospel.
Yeah.
Here's what Martin Luther said. He says, always preach in such a way that if the people listening don't come to hate their sin,
mm-hmm.
they will instead hate you.
That sounds like Christ.
He
went right to the Pharisees and he said, listen, it's not your works that get you into heaven.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, your kingdoms and everything you've established and your political power, it's all for nothing. John the Baptist said the same thing to him. Did they like him? No. They desired to kill him. Because why? He said salvation is of God. Put off your self-righteousness and put on Christ.
Yep. Just trying to make a point. Because I want to get
that was the same thing with Martin Luther.
What I'm trying to extract here is the definition of love, spiritually speaking.
Yeah.
Boldness enables Christians to forsake all rather than Christ,
mm-hmm.
and to prefer to offend all rather than to offend him.
Yeah.
Jonathan Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about Christ, so let's extract
that. Well, and I think this is good because it's a different, it was a different time frame there. Jonathan Edwards being the
1700s. The first one went inward, this one went outward.
Yeah, going back to Luther, when Luther
says... This sounds like Luther's commentary, by the way, if you listen to our conversation.
Oh, he fillets everything.
Yes.
But so like Luther is going to go to example Christ, either men will get hate their sin or they'll hate you.
Yeah.
So picture this, you've got a monk, because this is exactly what he's speaking to, the context of it. He's going to the Catholic Church saying, see all these statues that you have here? You're not going to get out of purgatory for that. This is not in the Bible, so not in Scripture. You're not saved by works. The priest, you shave that pretty spot in the baldness of your head. That's not doing anything for you. That's going to infuriate them against
him. So he's attacking their idolatry.
That's right.
Interesting that you'd bring up that point, because at the state fair the other day, we have idolatry. We have made idol gods all around our personal lives, Christians, without even knowing that we've done it.
Right.
I'll be right back after this break. You got Bradley and Jake Sons of LibertyRadio.com, 1-877-807-9977. Hello, this is Bradley Dean, show host of the Sons of Liberty Radio. And for the last 15 years, we have been fighting to protect our liberties. And we would ask that as you are moved by this message, that you would keep in mind that this ministry can only continue with people such as yourselves. One of our friends and partners, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources, would like to make you a special offer to encourage you to partner with us, the Sons of Liberty.
This work cannot continue without your support, which is why I'm willing to offer a constitutional silver dollar coin to every person who donates $100 or more by calling 866-233-0747. The Sons of Liberty Radio.com has impacted culture and made a difference in thousands of lives. Make your donation of $100 or more and receive your own silver dollar coin. Our monetary system is in trouble, and gold is a great way to diversify your investments. Call 866-233-0747. Make a $100 contribution to receive a silver dollar coin. It's 866-233-0747.
There is only one detox product that stands out above the rest, Micro Plant Powder, and it's available only at hempusa.org. Micro Plant Powder does wonders by removing toxins from the body. Detoxification is a vital process that's extremely important for restoring your health. Micro Plant Powder is available in 8 different formulations, and we can help you choose the one that's perfect for your lifestyle. Micro Plant Powder is 100% chemical-free, non-GMO, anti-inflammatory, gluten-free, and packaged by hand in BPA-free containers. HempUSA.org wants you to be healthy, and Micro Plant Powder is one of the best ways we know to detoxify your body from head to toe, all for about $10 a month. Take back your life and enjoy living again with Micro Plant Powder. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Micro Plant Powder. Available only at hempusa.org.
Alabama, it's coming, and it's the event you and your family will not want to miss. The Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, Saturday and Sunday, September 7th and 8th, at the newly renovated Oxford Civic Center in Oxford, Alabama, where admission is totally free. There's something for everyone. Free classes and seminars on topics like food preparation, food harvesting, and food preservation. Free giveaways every 30 minutes. You could win seed kits, food, doTERRA oil, starter kits, water filters, and more, including a year's supply of food. Guest speakers include Bob from Black Dog Survival School, Mike from White Harvest Seeds, Dr. Tom Stoner from Dr. Med Kits, and more. And be sure to stop by and check out the Youngevity booth, the Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, September 7th and 8th. A weekend of education and preparation that's totally free to attend. Don't forget, the Country Inn and Suites in Oxford has special rates available for those who attend the expo. Get all the details at thesouthernpreppers.com. That's thesouthernpreppers.com.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. Getting into a conversation, a dialogue. It sounds like Martin Luther, the great reformer, back in the 15th and 16th centuries. Sounds like his commentary on Romans, where he just fillets everything. I love those kind of conversations because then it begins to get deep and it sets men free. It breaks the chains. Folks, we've been talking about the end timers. We got caught up on that for a minute. And speaking of the law and love, which love is the fulfilling of the law. And so getting back to the end timers, Scripture tells us and states that we have been given the spirit of fear, I'm sorry, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And what is worse is that these end timers fuel the fear at every opportunity that they have, so they can sit there and attempt to oppress the next generation with their lawlessness and their inaction. Because they don't preach Christ crucified. They preach, get ready, fearful flock, Jesus is coming back. They don't preach that we're overcomers, but rather submitters to the next author that writes a book about how bad everything is and that there is no sense in lifting a finger to help our posterity, younger generation. You listening to me? They don't preach greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, 1 John 4:4. Matter of fact, how contrary to the word of God. Yet people go to these meetings and they listen to the garbage and hopelessness that they're being inundated with. It's like drinking water out of a dirty faucet. Jesus taught his disciples to seek and save that which is lost. You know what they do? They push fear in hopes to drive them to Jesus Christ. But it's not the Jesus of the Bible. We're supposed to go to the highways and the hedges, to go to the fields and reap the harvest. But again, these are exposed for what they leave undone. They're an empty tree, friends. And folks, this is clearly a lack of Christianity. I say to the older generation who teach hopelessness, you will and are despised for what you leave undone. For everyone sees your godlessness. And by the way, what Bible are you reading that you would teach the opposite of what Scripture actually teaches? When I hear these people say things that, well, like, because it goes on no further than their mouths, of course, I wonder, where is Jesus? That's the great question. Where is God in the message? If he can't save my soul here, how is he going to save my soul when I'm dead? Because again, I see nowhere, I said nowhere, that we are promised defeat except in our disobedience towards God. Matter of fact, we're not even to limit the Holy One of God. Instead, we are to respond to God's commands, my friends, not suggestions, and take his promises by faith. And when I read the book of Psalms, I see where David bore his cross, but God always gave him the victory. My Bible teaches that God is the deliverer, and when we take heed, that means pay careful attention to his word, well, then he gives us the victory every time, either in life or in death. Well, let me contrast it with this. Can you imagine our forefathers back in the 1700s saying, this is it, it's all over with, Jesus is coming to get us out of here? No, our forefathers responded to God. They took responsibility, and they played the men. They played the women. They took heed unto God and bestowed upon him the victory, them that took him at his word, the victory through the Revolutionary War. And remember the national motto, friends, no king but King Jesus, with flags waving that declared appeal to heaven. No, these people, 237 years without fail, Father, my friends, we can see the fruit because we are the walking fruit of how we are birthed as a nation through Jesus Christ. Our forefathers saw their responsibility and answered the call. America, we can still call upon the God of our fathers even now, and again, his name is Jesus Christ. He will answer, not because I said so, but because he said so. But you got to remember, the Holy Ghost comes to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, to bring forth a godly repentance. And keep in mind, he's a swift witness unto all manner of sin, to break the hard heart and to heal the broken one, to take away from you the stony heart of flesh, to put in you the heart of flesh, that you might know him. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judea. In those days and at that time I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Did you hear that, friends? Why? Because they loved the colonies. They loved the people. Jeremiah 33:14-15. Our forefathers did not lay down. They stood up and fought. They fought and secured their posterity. They didn't fall to circumstance. They sought God. And God heard, answered, and set the record straight in his righteousness, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know what, America? We need to come to that place today, individually and corporately. God showed himself strong on their behalf. Our forefathers pledged the high cost of their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor, and paid with their blood to redeem us through their sacrifice in the natural. And we call them blessed. And the way we express our gratitude to these that gave so much is to honor them with our actions in magnifying what they died for. Who doesn't appreciate a veteran in the natural? So I end with the words of John Adams. He said, posterity, second president of these United States, posterity, you will never know how much it costs the present generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make good use of it, because if you do not, I shall repent in heaven that I ever took half the pains to preserve it. I love that topic.
On Christ the Rock. I mean, John Adams, for him to make that statement. I mean, I feel, I don't know, there's the redemptive quality to everything that a person does that Christ establishes through him. And I really love the flow of this show, because that is what it's all based on. It's based upon that rock. This is something that you're not going to hear. Now, you can easily apply these things to what's going on in society today. The war in Syria, as an example. When I was at the fair, I was asking people, do you think this administration is following the Constitution? And, of course, they said no. And then you ask them, do you know the Constitution? And they say, well, not very well. Well, that's the reason that this administration is allowed to continue to do what it's doing.
So let me parallel that to the church. Mm-hmm. So can you tell me three of the Ten Commandments? 15 minutes later. Thou shalt have honor your parents. I mean, I am not even kidding you.
No, it happens every
time.
And
it's interesting. I love God. I love God. I even heard a guy say this one time. I love God, but I have no desire to know his word. That's exactly what I heard him say. Listen, that's like a fish saying, I love water, but I don't want to live in the water.
I wonder why somebody would say, I love God. Some people might say,
dude, they say it all the time. Rockers do it all the time with their stinking devil horns up in the air, their fingers.
I mean, what would be the purpose Because then we'll just talk about love then.
Look at Britney Spears. Oh, we love Jesus. Look at Christina Aguilera. Oh, we love Jesus. Look at Miley Cyrus, the little skinny rack of bones. What does she do? I mean, that was probably the most pathetic report that I've seen in my life. But she claims she loves Christ. Does that look like Christ? Friends, nobody rebuked the religious hypocrites more than Christ did. Mm-hmm. And don't forget that, please. Sorry. I got one more point to make here. I had Ken write in, and he said, I listened to your radio show today, and you talked about the end timers. I was taught end time doctrine all of my life. He said, the last few years I've rejected that thought, many for the same reasons as you mentioned. He said, I have been scolded by my family and church that I have no faith that Christians will get a Cadillac ride out of here before it gets ugly. I used to think that this is what he said. I think what's they harm in thinking that it's just a matter of timing, I think, is what he meant to say. But the danger of the end timers thinking is that when things get ugly and that Cadillac ride haven't arrived yet, it could lead to many Christians being deceived. The world could say, where is your Jesus? He had left you here to suffer and die. It could put doubt in their minds, and many reject Jesus because they felt that they have been forsaken. Am I off base? I don't think you are. I think end timers are confused, and I think if the end timers would read the Bible, you'd be going the other direction. You'd be going up in the things of the Spirit, not down in the things of the carnal, fallen nature.
If you're compelled to glorify your Christ, it's not going to matter whether it is the end times or not. And I've shared this, and we share it in the Constitution class. I think it's the eschatology is what they call it. That during the times of, as an example, Christopher Columbus, the Turks were taking over, the Muslims were invading all of Europe. They thought it was the end of not only the world, but Christendom, because here's the monster that's taking over the world. But what they thought of is, hey, it's the end times. How do we circle around the globe to get to China to reach them with the gospel? Then we can sandwich the Turks. They didn't look at it. They looked at it as nothing more than if Jesus is coming back, then we better do what the scripture prescribes, and that's preach the gospel to every creature in the world. So when he comes, we're prepared. We've done our duty. So no matter if it's close, no matter if it's far away, no matter if it's right on our doorstep, I'm still motivated to reach the lost. It doesn't turn into self-motivation. Because if it does turn into self-motivation, then do I really love Christ or do I really love myself? Most people that say I love Christ is they love him because he's going to take him to heaven at the end of this. Many people who have an accurate understanding of salvation, of what Christ has done, is because he comes in and sets them free from the sin that they are dealing with even right now.
Yeah.
Not at the end. Not he's going to burn up my sin and then rescue me to heaven. It's right now that he sets me free. Why did Christ come? Matthew 1. Jesus was sent. God sent his only son to save their people to save his people from their sins.
Matthew 1:21.
That's right, and that's what's happening right now. Folks, the sonsoflibertyradio.com, there's a whole lot of stuff you can do. There's a whole lot of things you can view on, and I always bring you back to that because it's more than just a radio program. We encourage you to be a part, take part, become a son or daughter of liberty, make a donation if that's what you like, get some of the product. But folks, it doesn't stop after the radio stops. It stops when we're dead. And what we bring to Christ is what's going to matter. That's what's going to be tried by fire, and we encourage you to do the same.
Amen. Bradley and Jake, sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertyradio.com. We'll talk to you Monday. You can go ahead and download podcasts if you'd like, 1 John 3:18. We love you by what we do. See ya.
This October, thousands of people from all corners of the world will descend upon Orem, Utah. But it's more than the fall colors or the snow-capped Wasatch Mountains that brings them. It's the semi-annual Great Utah Preparedness Expo at the Utah Valley University Event Center. It's the most unique preparedness event on Earth, with over 30 world-class lecturers giving over 50 presentations. Learn from experts about below-ground greenhouses, super winter survival, herbal medicine, bunker building, even urban evasion and escape tactics taught by SEAL team trainers. These people are the very best, and they only get together twice a year at the Great Utah Preparedness Expo. There's also over 100 vendors selling very unique preparedness, emergency, and survival equipment, plus solar and alternative energy products. The semi-annual Great Utah Preparedness Expo, October 11th and 12th in Orem, Utah. Sponsored by Youngevity. For more, visit superprepfair.com. That's superprepfair.com.